Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Everybody, happy Wednesday night, a special edition of Cuz's Corner, as tomorrow night we got an early Flyers game, started at 6:30, so no time for Cuz's Corner. We moved it to tonight in anticipation of the Sweet 16 of the tournament that gets back underway tomorrow. So we'll get into a lot of college basketball, as always. Cuz's Corner is powered by the Bet Parks app. Download the Bet Parks app. It's got you covered. Oh, man, all the tournament stuff is awesome. You got to download it. It's a lot of fun. All kinds of things on there. Same game parlays. We'll talk about Sixers, Bulls, the second part of the home and home in Chicago tonight. So we'll talk about that game. You can bet on all of it. In live, in-game betting, futures, like who's going to win the tournament. Now that it's down to 16, you got a shot there. All kind of golf. I mean, every sport. Baseball's coming. Just go to betparks.com for all the details. Got to be in PA or New Jersey. Going to be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Earlier today, I was off today because I was at the doctor's and see my man, Dr. Edowitz, who was awesome. Rothman, fantastic. So I was there, and I didn't get a chance to talk about the World Baseball Classic because I thought it was amazing, right? John Smoltz said it best last night. He said it was a win for baseball. And the way that game ended, obviously we wanted USA to win, but the way the game ends with Ohtani striking out Trout, 3-2 count, I mean, that's baseball, man. That was just absolutely beautiful. It was great for the game. It was an amazing game, right? Trey Turner, America's shortstop and our shortstop, goes yard yet again. Schwarbaum, right? So we got a Schwarbaum last night as well. Kyle Schwarber goes deep. And it was just great baseball, man. Just amazing, amazing baseball. So I want to get into that a little bit tonight with the big brain on Brad, who joins us right now, our betting analyst at Parks, Brad Feinberg. Bradley.
Good evening, my friend. How are you, buddy?
Now, this is awesome. You sound like you're down the street from me. And meanwhile, tell people where you are, the middle of the ocean.
The middle of the ocean on a Disney cruise right now. So not quite down the street, but we'll take it.
So where exactly are you? Just in the Caribbean?
Right now, yeah, in the Caribbean, yeah. Like, we first went to Mexico, and then we went to the Caribbean, and the Grand Cayman Islands, and now we're on back to New Orleans, and we will be arriving tomorrow, and then a couple days in New Orleans, which I'm excited about.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. You and your daughter, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
I love it. You're a good daddy.
Yeah, I try.
Did you have fun with it? I've never been on a cruise. I've never really been a cruise person, but I'm always surprised. Like, people love it. Like, was it a blast or what?
Yeah, well, you know what I like about it, Anthony? It's kind of like a hotel on wheels where you can go see different cities or whatnot and not have to pack up for the airport and of things of that nature. So
sure.
It just kind of makes it a little bit easier for someone like myself who sometimes could be a little bit lazy and not a little bit of a schlub in packing. So, so it makes it a little bit easier for someone like me.
Oh, that's awesome. Starry nights, like out on the deck. You go out and take a look at the water. That's got to be a great sight.
It was actually very nice. Sorry, they had Disney does a good job. It was almost like they have their New Year's Eve celebration. They had a Pirates of the Caribbean, a big fireworks celebration, dance music. And look, the kids enjoy it. So, that's why you do it.
Ah, that's awesome. Well, will you be, you'll be back for the tournament. So I know you'll catch a little bit of the tournament coming in on tomorrow as the tournament comes back. Now, I got to start off with this because you nailed Purdue. You said Purdue, was a phony. Purdue would be vulnerable, and yeah. we were talking about it because I agree with you. But listen, you called that from the gym. You've been calling it all year, so I want to give you your flowers. Yeah. You've been calling it all year, yep. And a freshman backcourt and the whole thing, and they go down to Fairleigh Dickinson in the game of the year. The Fairleigh Dickinson was plus 2,200 on the money line, and we said it was worth a pizza bet.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Anthony, 100%. And listen, they were an overrated team. And again, this was a perfect storm where, look, to me, the best teams in college basketball, the best two teams to me this year have probably been Houston and Alabama. And I thought, outside of those teams, some of these other, and UCLA, before their injuries, UCLA would put in that class too. But some of these teams like Purdue, again, and Arizona, I thought were definitely phony. Now, did I think they would lose in the first round? Absolutely not. But did I think that they actually were susceptible to not having a good tournament because they were a little bit of a fraud? Yeah, I did. But again, there's two ways of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is, look, they overachieved all year. And, right. Maybe they maxed out and they really weren't that good. And they should, it depends how you look at these things. You could look at it as they were number one seed and flopped, which they shouldn't have. But you could also say they really played above what I think they had. And they really weren't a legitimate number one seed. And, because of that, we see what happened.
Anything else kind of surprising? We'll go through each of the games. We have eight yeah. games, four tomorrow, four Friday. We'll take a look at each of the games, just kind of looking at them from by themselves as standalones. But the tournament in itself, did you enjoy it? I was a little, not as much as in recent years, to be honest with you.
Yeah, look, Anthony, this tournament, again, we talked about there being, parity or whatnot in college basketball this year, and I think we've seen that these games certainly can go either way. We've seen that but there've been it's been a low scoring tournament. I think 35 of the 52 games have gone under so far in this tournament. 35.
Wow, really? Now, what do you think? Why is that?
Yeah. No, I mean, well, listen, to me, Anthony, look, again, why has it been more under? I'll tell you which is interesting, because I said on the show, and this is a little surprising, I said I especially like the first half unders, okay? And I like the first half unders. And they, I believe, went 29 and 23. I told you they've been about 58%.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's
we passed that along to people. Yeah.
Yeah. But usually when that happens, you get these foul fests at the end of the games because, teams are playing for their season or whatnot, and you get these foul fests. But that's really, it's interesting. It's really not what's happened. Usually with that percentage, I wouldn't have expected 35 of 52 games to go under. But again, maybe just not as good as shooting. I don't know. It's just been a surprising thing. I do want to clarify one thing though, Anthony, because you said something. Again, I'm on this cruise. I'm actually with my girlfriend and her daughter, not my daughter, but my girlfriend and her daughter. So that's
nice.
Who I'm with on the
nice.
Trip now. Yeah, and we're having a good time. But anyway, going back to what you said, Anthony, to me, look, I still think some of these unders, and when we talk about the games, have validity to them, and I'll get the reasons why I like some of these unders. And these unders have been coming in quite a bit. And I think also the more, these teams play, this defense, each possession becomes that much more important. And Anthony, when you watch the NBA, in a seventh game of a total versus in a series versus game one, watch this. You'll see that total, let's suppose the first game total is 234. The last total will be more like 228. Because when teams, as the games go on and they become more physical and whatever, the teams know each other more and there's more data and more defense. That's just what happens. And I do believe that with these tournament games, you're going to get more, but every possession's like its last possession. You're now in the Sweet 16, then the Elite Eight, then the Final Four. And again, then you get when the Final Four, when you get these big football stadiums, Anthony, it becomes harder, the backgrounds and the backdrops. And that's been something now that sports books have finally caught on to. But
yeah, that was always those cavernous. Yeah, it's such a hard way. It's just hard to shoot the ball because of the background. It's right. It's the truth.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I will say this, it's interesting, Anthony. Madison Square Garden, believe it or not, has more of a darker background to it, and some of the college teams struggle when they first play there. And plus, you have Madison Square Garden, you know, just the pressure of the garden. So I think that that's one, again, some first-half unders as well there. I'm gonna look, because, again, I do think it's been known to be a tougher little bit of a shooting background, and, again, you just get the pressure of the garden.
Yeah.
New York City teams are amped up. I think we could see a little bit of it as well.
Yeah, I can see that. Micah Shrewsbury, the coach at Penn State, is no more. He has left and accepted the job at Notre Dame. So Shrewsbury led Penn State to the first NCAA tournament win since 2001. Leaves as a stepping stone gig to go to Notre Dame.
Yeah, Anthony. Look, we see that every year. You know, teams that outperform and then they become the it coach, the hot coach, and they get a job up in class. Look, we saw again. They didn't have a great tournament, but Ed Cooley, you know, same thing. We'll see that with teams when they have good years. Their coaches are the ones who benefit. It's never the players, right? It's the coaches.
Right.
It's just the way it goes. And look, you know, look, he got a, you know, going from Penn State. Look, give him credit. You know, Penn State really has been a graveyard of a job for, you know, kind of like forever, right? I mean, I thought
that was ridiculous what happened to Patrick Chambers. And, you know, we love Pat, and he's doing a great job at Florida Gulf Coast. And I never thought that he should have been fired. I thought that was nonsense.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. I know. I know the guy. He didn't mean anything like that. I thought it was taken out of context, and that's a shame. But, you know, he goes to Florida Gulf Coast, and he's doing well. But I'm with you. Like, you know, look, you know, if you're Shrewsbury, you go, I want to go to Notre Dame. I got a job.
It's a better job. Look, it just is what it is. And again, you know, I never begrudge anyone for taking these better jobs. I mean, and that's the bottom line is, it's just a better job. And again, I give him credit for what they've done at Penn State, you know, what he's been able to do. It's been a great year for them. They played really well, and they, you know, they almost won the Big Ten championship, and they had a really good tournament. They absolutely destroyed A&M. So they, look, give him credit for a really good year. And now, you know, the coach just won as, you know, reaps the benefits, and he'll take his wares to Notre Dame, and, you know, we'll see what happens there. But that's just the, yeah, look, that's the way that these things go, Anthony. It's the way that they go.
All right. Before we get to the games, and we're going to go into all the each and every one of the eight games. I got Sixers. Sixers Bulls tonight.
What a horrible loss.
I know, dude. It's such a shame because, look, you leapfrog Boston, right? We get one game.
That's everything.
Yeah, I know, because, you know, we get the two seed, right? And then you lose to Chicago at home, double overtime. And it's a shame because Harden was just wretched, woeful. He has played such good basketball, and it's a shame. He just had a bad, horrible game.
I got to tell you something funny. A buddy of mine who follows the NBA very, very, very closely, and he's an astute NBA guy, okay? You would enjoy talking. This guy knows what he's talking about. Again, he's not a, you know, he's a smart guy. And he texted me, and he's like, wow. He's like, why? And he's like watching Harden. He goes, I don't care what the stats say. He's like, this guy, the eye test shows he's fat, he's slow, he's out of shape. You know, he's the Sixers' third or fourth best player. And I'm like, I flipped out. You would have thought I was James Harden's mom and dad. Like, I'm like, listen. I go, look, if you take your worst day on something, you're getting his worst game of the year. And again, he's not LeBron James, where he'll never not have a bad game. I mean, he's not that point in his career.
He is in good shape. I mean, he came, and he came in, he looks, you could see, looks, if you watch him, he looks completely different than last year.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think he was completely unfair. And I said, listen, I go, he has been their second best player. He's played terrific all season. Now, again, is he the, you know, first ballot, the all-time great that he was on Houston? I'm not going to say that.
No.
But he was kind of like, Anthony, I think you would agree with this comparison. A baseball pitcher, maybe like Randy Johnson, he used to throw like 99, 100. He's throwing 96, 97.
Yeah.
Still really good. He has to maybe adjust here and there. Doesn't mean he's still not great. He's just maybe not the, you know, the all-time Randy Johnson at his peak powers. And I kind of think that's what Harden is right now today, where he's lost a couple miles off his fastball, but that doesn't mean he's still not an all-star. And I think he is. Look, the Sixers' record this year has shown it. And look, it was a tough loss because the fact they got tied with Boston, Anthony, to me, was a minor miracle. I mean, they've been fighting all season. And then, you know, Boston just won at Sacramento. Like, you look at the two games coming up, Boston was at Sacramento. They were about a 4.5-point favorite, and the Sixers are at home. Were a bigger favorite than that against Chicago, and they couldn't get it done. I figured that, and then the Sixers at Chicago, I thought they could sweep that, and just didn't work out that way. So, look, we'll have to see. Sixers schedule is much harder than Boston Anthony the rest of the way, so I think it's going to be a tough thing.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. That was such a tough thing. Now, they're a 4-point favorite tonight. You know how it works on the home and home, usually, the better team loses at home. You got to like them coming back on the road, right, tonight?
Yeah, I do. You know, and the only way I can look here is Philadelphia. You know, Chicago to me, look, they're going to get, you know, they've been battling. It's funny, I made a crazy bet. I've been following this all year. I told you about that Kings bet they made. The Indiana Pacers to finish ahead of the Bulls getting 13 or 14 to 1 odds, and I've been winning that bet the entire freaking time. It's like the Belmont Stakes, and you see the horse winning, and then he just fades at the end, and the other horse catches him. That's kind of what's happened to me here with Chicago. Like, I think they're up by 2.5 games over them. But I was winning that bet probably 90% of the season. But Chicago to me, looking at me, look, that's a team that I kind of like in no man's land, where they have the veteran players like DeRozan and Vucevic, and of course Zach LaVine. But you say, what are they going to do, right? Because they're not bad enough to be in the, you know, first pick in the draft sweepstakes, but they're not good enough to really do anything in the playoffs. So that's organization's kind of in an interesting spot, what they're going to do in the offseason. In this game tonight, though, look, I do think the Philadelphia should win and should cover. Again, I thought the number in this game would be closer to 5. Factor in they lost that game. I think there'll be a little bit of extra motivation for that. And again, I'm not anxious to back a Chicago team or against a Philadelphia team where they've won 8 in a row, Anthony, before that. I think it was
6 in a row on the road. Line. Right, yeah, and they owned the Bulls up until last night. Yeah, I was
yeah,
on the
yeah. Yep. So to me, only way I can look here is the Philadelphia side. Chicago, you know, they won a very fortunate overtime game, you know, against Minnesota right before the Philadelphia game. But Chicago hasn't really been playing great basketball at all. This is the game of Philadelphia game back in the standings against Boston. This is the game they have to win. So I think you're going to get a motivated Philadelphia team. Again, for everyone listening, this is the NBA. The best team can lose to the worst team, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's a regular season NBA game, and I always remind myself of that. And people are like, how did this happen? Well, it's the regular season NBA game. Happens every day. All I do is watch the sport. But to me, you should get, in theory, a motivated Philadelphia team here, Anthony, laying a reasonable number. Only way I can look is Philadelphia.
All right. Let me ask you, anything else tonight strike your fancy? Heat-Knicks, interesting. Kind of like the Knicks a little bit in that game. The Knicks are in Miami. And then you got a bunch of, it's a full slate of NBA action. Utah, Portland's a good game too. And Lakers-Suns at 10 tonight.
The Lakers-Suns game that's an interesting game because, look, the Lakers fighting for the playoffs like crazy. Suns still have a chance to win that division. Anthony Davis is back, but obviously no LeBron. I think that game should be what the number is. I'll say this, Anthony. I lean, the Hawks were getting, I think last I saw it, the Hawks were getting 5 against the Timberwolves. I think that's just closer to a 50-50 game. Again, my numbers made it 3, but it's just to me, I think those teams are pretty comparable. I just think they're pretty comparable. And in today's world, I'm not paying 5 points for home court advantage. I'm just not. I'm not willing to do it. I will say this, Toronto against Indiana, Anthony. I think Indiana is going to struggle down the stretch. I think, again, that they're that Belmont horse race where they...
I'm sorry, too, because, yeah, I mean, they look good. Like, you know, listen, they were plucky, right? Like, they were playing some decent ball, and now they're just shot.
Yeah, they're just, and again, and they haven't had Halliburton, which has been a really tough thing for them. And it feels like, Anthony, I got to just tell you, reading the team, it doesn't seem like they've had much interest. Yeah, it doesn't seem like they've had much interest in getting in the top 10. And again, someone who's following this probably more than anyone in the entire state of Pennsylvania, I'd actually probably go that far. Even though this is obsessed with the Indiana Pacers, I have been, because of that bet I have on them. But to me, Anthony, again, I think that they're on their last leg. Big number with Toronto. Like, again, it's not like we're getting, like, some cheap number here. But Toronto, to me, is fighting to get in that, you know, that 7-8 area, which is extremely huge advantage over the 9-10. Let me make that very clear. It is a massive advantage over the 9-10 because, you know, the 7-8 area, you just got to win one game out of, you know, out of potentially two.
Yeah.
You're in the 9-10, you got to win two games, which is extremely, extremely tough and extremely challenging. So I do think Toronto wins that game by margin tonight. I don't like the way Indiana's headed. I think Toronto's been playing a little bit better recently. And it's a game that I don't think they can afford to mess around. I think they'll win by double digits.
So how do you see the Sixers? So it's a tough. So
I like Philadelphia.
Right, it's a four game road trip. Chicago tonight, Portland. On Friday, the Sixers go to Golden State, who is very good at home, as we know, with the home road splits that the Warriors have. Saturday at Phoenix, and then Monday with Jokic and the Nuggets. To end the trip, tough four games there.
Look. Here's the bottom line. I'm just keeping it real. If they went 2-2, that's a decent trip. It's really, you know, it's nothing to be ashamed of. But I'm going to be honest. As a Sixer fan, if they go 2-2, I think the division may be over. With a few games left, what are there, like 10 games left, Anthony, or something like that? I don't have the exact. So I'm just saying that's 40% of the season. Again, it's not like four games out of 82 means one thing. Four games out of 10, that's a little bit different. And, you know, needing to beat, it goes without saying, they lose the tiebreaker to Boston. They're one game behind. So let's just give them that game head to head, which you have to do. If they don't win the game head to head, there's nothing to discuss. So they're basically tied with Boston right now. 2-2 is not getting you to heaven. You're going to have to somehow go 3-1 of these four. It's going to be extremely hard to do that. Because let's look at the games. At Golden State, I expect them to come in as probably a slight, tiny underdog. At Nuggets, they're going to be a slight underdog. They're favored tonight. And what was the fourth, Anthony, against...
at Denver, Monday night,
they're going to be a dog against Denver. I think there'll be a slight dog against Golden State. And then who was the fourth
Phoenix
one?
Was the Saturday night game.
Phoenix. Yeah, the Phoenix game will be... I think that'll be closer to like a pick'em kind of game. You know, and so to me, again, I'd say, again, talking about golf analogies, maybe two would be par, but they can't get par. They need to win three of these four.
Yeah, I know. Because here's the problem.
Realistic chance.
You're right. And here's the problem. Boston has Indiana on for, they're off because they have two games in hand to the Sixers. So they got Indiana on Friday and the Spurs on Sunday. So
yeah,
two sucky teams that Boston has.
Yeah. Again, yeah, that's what I'm saying. 3-1. Look, ideally you'd go 4-0, but that's
right.
That's why losing that Bulls game. I have to be honest.
I know.
Was a dagger. Was a dagger because they really needed to win that. When they really had so room of margin for error, and again, the fact it got this close is incredible. It really is because they've been like 6-5 games behind literally the entire season, but they've just been nipping away. But when there's so few games left, you can't. You can't. It's kind of like, look, I'll give you an analogy. You're watching the Super Bowl, that third down play, the Eagles get the holding penalty. You can't on third down. No, you can't commit a penalty there and end the game. You just can't. When there's so few games left, you can't lose a game you're supposed to win. It's just not on the menu of things you can do if you expect to win the division. And so I think it just put them in a very precarious spot, and now they're going to have to go 3-1 to have any chance to win the division and maybe even 4-0.
Yeah, I know. I hear you, buddy. All right, sit tight.
Keeping it real, and you know that.
No, I know, of course. Listen, I felt the same way. I was bummed out about it. All right, sit tight. We're going to come back, and we'll go over the Sweet 16. We'll go over the Thursday night and Friday night slate, four games tomorrow night, four games Friday night in the tournament, and any kind of some other stuff that's happening around the sports. We'll discuss it. It's Cousins Corner. He's the big brain on Brad, the Parks betting analyst. Don't forget the Bet Parks app that powers Cousins Corner. You got to download it for all the 20 games, for all the Sixers, the same game parlay, you name it. When it comes to sports and baseball's coming, you got to get to know the Bet Parks at betparks.com. Is all the details, all the fun stuff. They have odds boosts and free bets you can do, all kinds of things happening on the Bet Parks app. You got to be in PA or New Jersey. You got to be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. More Cousins Corner coming up next, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. Cuz Radio, Cuz's Corner, with our man, the Big Brain, brought to you by the Bet Parks app. It is tournament time. We're going to be At Parks tomorrow, because it's Parks Madness going on. Tournament's a blast. It really is. It's always fun. And we'll have some good games coming up. So, Big Brain, let's take a look at the Sweet 16, shall we? So, we'll go through each of the games. By the way, the Big Brain is with us live in the middle of the ocean. Yes, he's in the middle of the ocean. In the Caribbean. So you got to love that on a Disney cruise. I can't get enough of that. It's the best. You have been with us from the mountains of Colorado, some of the swankiest places on earth, the Big Brain. God bless, baby. All right, here he is. All right, so Kansas State and Michigan State. Michigan State's 1.5. I have a real opinion on this game. And I love Noel. I love that kid. That kid was a blast to watch. And the upset over Kentucky, he was out of his mind. Marquise Noel was ridiculous.
Yeah.
27, banging threes. And he plays with a lot of flair. Step back jumpers, puts the ball behind his back. He gets hot. He just starts draining threes.
Yeah, it's interesting, Anthony. I told you when we went over last week's show, I liked Michigan State over USC. I thought that I had a slightly better team with a dominant coach that always is prepared well and does well, right? And we saw that's what happened. Okay. I made this game in my power. If I had Kansas State, and again, you may say, what's the difference? Well, there's a difference. I made Kansas State 1.5, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I figured with the public factor that we're going to have teams that, people are going to want to take Izzo. That's just the way it is because of this crazy success and the tournament. And I get that, and that makes, I totally understand that. So I thought this line would maybe come in around a pick, maybe a 1.5 point spread tax. I've seen as high as 2. Looking at me again, these lines are going to be efficient. Let me make this clear. I mean, I recommend everyone live bet these games. Parks lets you do it. But I know you want my opinion on the game. Slight lean to Kansas State, Anthony, because I thought the line should have been flip-flop. I had Kansas State being a baby favorite. And look, do they deserve to be ranked? Were they ranked? It's like 10th in the nation? I mean, no. I clearly don't think they should have been even a 3 seed. And look, we're seeing they're an underdog, right? They're an underdog. You have the number 3 seed and underdog in this game, right? So that kind of lets you know that the seeding doesn't necessarily correlate to how good you are. That being said, again, my power ratings make them a tiny, tiny favorite. I think it'll be a close game. This is not a vintage Michigan State team, not at all. Slight lean here to Kansas State, but I think whoever wins this game could be in trouble in the next game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree. I think you're getting, a real value on K-State, and I think you're right. I think,
for the name.
Yeah, all because of that.
It's 100% the name, which I get. By the way, again, Michigan State and Izzo is the comfort food. They're the pizza. They're the chicken wings, right? Like, it's easy to take them. And it's easy to have that, that feeling. Okay, I know Izzo's going to be prepared, and it's just that's what feels good. And who's Kansas State? because this has been the first time Kansas State's been, you know, in the Sweet 16. I don't know the last time they have been, but you get my point. Michigan State's here year in, year out. And again, I just think the line is flip-flop the way it should be. And I think you're getting a little bit of value taking the underdog here.
Yep, yep. Arkansas-UConn, which is a great game, and the seven, it's that'll be 7:15. UConn, you called it. I like that team, but you said that it was the basically the analytics darling, because
they're the number one team. They are the team, and if you speak to any of my brethren, that is the team that everyone and their grandmother, well, literally, I mean these sharps, everyone is on UConn, and that is the team that they think they are the best team. Powell right there with Houston and Alabama. Again, they're one of the rare teams that are, you know, top in offense and defense. They have five guys who can score. They can defend. This is a team that can beat you in multiple ways. They can shoot the three. Arkansas, for them to win, they're going to want to drive to the hoop and score inside. That way they don't shoot the three well. So, again, I think my problem when I take a team that doesn't shoot the three against a team that can shoot the three, I struggle to do that. Now, this line, you know, I laid 3.5 at the open. What is right now? Is it 3.5 or 4 right now?
It is. Let me look at it here on the Parks app. It's 4.
Okay, 4. I still like UConn here. I think UConn, if I had to pick a team probably to go to the finals, they would probably be my pick based on, you know, draws and how they've been playing and whatnot. Now, again, Arkansas had a great win over Kansas, but this Arkansas team has been very erratic. They were preseason, actually. If you, with the day of the season ended, Anthony, some people had them ranked number one in their preseason polls. It hasn't turned out that way for them, but Musselman obviously does a really good job there. I do think UConn's the better team here. I think UConn's in better form. And I think we're laying a reasonable price here with a team that, in my opinion, will be able to just score a lot easier. I like UConn to advance. And
I'm with you. All right, so then here's another game. Tennessee's laying 5. Against FAU. I got to tell you, I'm a believer in FAU, and I think FAU wins this game outright.
Yeah, Anthony, I had Duke. I mean, we didn't talk. I had Duke against Tennessee, and I lost on that. Tennessee is a team, Anthony. Again, they're gritty. They're not the same team they were all year. They lost one of the best players for the season.
Yeah.
And I give them credit. They muck it up. They play ugly. A lot will be how this game is refereed, because if they call ticky-tack fouls on Tennessee, I think Tennessee will lose outright. I lean here against the underdog FAU, not overrating them, but it's more of, to me, a play against Tennessee. And I do like the under as well. I think it's going to be a low-scoring, muck-it-up, ugly affair that can go either way. And again, if you want to, you know, this game, I was able to get 5.5 of the opening. Maybe you could still, I don't know if it's still, I guess it's now 5. But I think this game's more of a 50-50 kind of game. I don't love Tennessee at all right now. And again, laying 5 points with a team that struggles to score like that, I have no interest in doing that. In a game like this, a lower scoring, tougher game, give me FAU. Again, I agree with you. If I had to just pick the winner of the game, you're right. I would actually pick FAU. My power ratings at this moment made this game a pick. So I was way off on these number. I just not as high on Tennessee as the market is. If I'm wrong, you know, my bankroll is going to pay for it, because I just think they're overrated right now. And FAU, I think, can keep this game very close, very tight. And again, I also like the under as well.
Yeah, I see the same. It's funny. I think FAU's not bad. Like, you know, listen, you know, they don't play anybody. But they're a veteran team. Like, they're a team. They go 33-3, right? Okay, you know, they don't play by that league, whatever. League stinks. But they can shoot the three, and they're veteran. Like, they don't get, you know, freaked out at the end of games. They're a poised team, even when came back on them on Sunday when Fairleigh Dickinson comes back on them. They had enough wherewithal to stave the run and win the game, finish the game off.
Absolutely, and again, and for me, Anthony, again, I give Tennessee credit. They out-physical Duke. They really did, and again, and I give them credit for how they played. They're tough. Again, I give them credit for being a tough team. But I am never anxious. Tennessee is a team I'm always looking to take points versus laying points. you get this as someone who understands gambling at a high, and sports both at a high level. There's certain teams that just, you like them much more in the role of an underdog. Because, and to me, that is what Tennessee is. They can scratch and claw and muck it up and make the games tight, but I'm not anxious to lay points with a team like that.
Yeah, I'm with you, buddy. You know what? I feel the same way, man. Feel the same exact way. Gonzaga UCLA is a great game. 31-5
kind of
Bruins.
Game, right?
What's that?
That's a Final Four kind of game.
It is. It's got all the, it's the big programs, the Battle of the West. You know, it's a shame UCLA's a little banged up, but they're playing great ball. Gonzaga's playing terrific basketball. I mean, that's just a great basketball game.
It is, Anthony. Look, this is a game, like, I'll be honest, I did not bet this game. This is a game I thought was extremely challenging. UCLA lost another player with a sprained ankle. He's supposed to play, but again, they've just unfortunately gotten the short end of the stick. They were my highest power rated team, barring injury going into the tournament, but they've had the injuries. Gonzaga is kind of flown under the radar here a little bit. Look, this line is floating between 2 and 2.5. I think it's going to be a close game, a very tight game. In my brackets, I did pick Gonzaga to advance. But UCLA is a tough team. Like, that is a team that I feel has, like, that with the veteran play with Jaquez, and Campbell, their team, again, in these close games, tight, I think they're going to win more than they lose. But again, Gonzaga, you know, with Timmy, same kind of thing. I think it's a really close game, Anthony. I think it's the right number, more or less. Again, I thought the line would come in, UCLA being a baby favorite. That's what they are. My gut tells me Gonzaga is going to eke one out, but I would be very surprised if this is not a close game.
Yeah, I feel
not a game I'm betting.
Yeah,
not a game I'm betting.
I got to tell you, I really feel you on this. This is a game that's too tight. I like Gonzaga, and I think I have Gonzaga going to the Final Four. I think Gonzaga's good. This is a game where, you know, that's a sweat. Like, I just think it's a great basketball game. It's the game I want to watch the most.
Oh, I agree. This is going to be a very good game. And again, usually it's interesting. Usually, when you have the good offense team against a good defensive team, usually I lean defense. But my instincts tell me Gonzaga is going to find a way to win a close one here. I think if UCLA was healthy, UCLA is the better team, and they would have probably been my pick to win the national title, but they're not. And Clark is definitely out. So I just to me, again, when there's so much parity in these games and these things are so close, when you take away teams, you know, one of their elite players, you know, it's going to probably show itself in a game where a point spread's so close like this. And so, again, I think this may be where this hurts them. But, again, this is a game I'm very forward to seeing. I think it's going to be a great game, an exciting game. I think it's more or less the right number. So, again, there's two games I really didn't have an opinion on. This is one of the two. We'll get to the other one later.
Yeah. No, I hear you. All right. Friday night, the tournament continues. A little bit of not as good as games. Thursday night, to me, is the more interesting night,
for sure.
You know, by far. So, Alabama, the one seed in the South against San Diego State. Bama's 7.5-point favorite. And look, Bama's, we thought that Bama would be the one seed that you could trust the most, despite what's going on in that school, in that program.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, listen, again, what should Miller be allowed to play or not? Again, that's something that we all can talk about. No, I don't pretend to know enough about exactly what it is. Again, but I will tell you this, if his name was Brad Feinberg or Anthony Gargano, he wouldn't be playing. That much I do know.
Right.
When you're the best player on the team, the rules are going to be different for you. Let's just call it the way it is. But that's neither here nor there. Let's just talk about the game. To me, Anthony, one thing about Alabama that gets, in my opinion, overlooked is they're elite. And I mean elite defensively. They are one of the best defensive teams in the nation. So is San Diego State. I like the under in this game. I lean here to San Diego State. Now, San Diego State's well coached. I've seen better San Diego State teams than this team. I actually, before the year, I made one of my largest bets on them to win the conference. And I was getting around almost 2-1 odds. They took them to the end of the season, but they did win the conference. I do respect this San Diego State team. Slight lean to them. I think they'll probably lose this game in that 6-8 window. But I do like the under because I think both teams, not if people think, San Diego State has been metric top five all year, but so is Alabama. And I don't think Alabama gets enough credit for that side of the way they play. Needs to be a low scoring game, Anthony. I wouldn't be surprised in this first half if neither team even gets to 30. I think it's going to be really low scoring.
Yeah, I'm with you. Houston, Miami. I think it's another ugly game. Houston laying 7 against Miami, and I think that could be another under and kind of a slog of a game.
Yeah, I lean under on this one as well. I think you are right. And once again, I'm going to lean towards the underdog. Canes here. Look, Canes, they had a really good performance against Indiana. They played really well that game. The first game, gosh, they were down against Drake. They closed the game, I think, like on an 18-0 run or something like that, Anthony. You can go check that. It was 16-1 or something along that line. Mm-hmm. They were in real trouble in that game, and then they pulled away and won it. But pretty somewhat of a deceiving final score. Miami can score. Houston's tough. I mean, they're gritty. They're well coached. But again, Houston's a team, again, much more apt to lay points because they played on a neutral. Houston and Alabama probably should be pretty close. I just trust Alabama more because they have a guy.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, or Sasser is obviously good. But I lean here to the underdog, Anthony. Again, I lean to the under as well. I think Miami can keep this game close. Auburn couldn't quite finish in the second half. They missed every freaking free throw. I think they shot like 15 for 40 from the line. I mean, you missed 25 free throws. You don't deserve to win. But give Houston credit. They were down by 10 at half. They really gave another gear, and they locked down on them, and they won the game. Again, give them credit. But I think Miami can keep this game close again. And again, in these tournament games, I'm always going to be leery laying this many points. I just think it's hard to win by margin in these games. Like, there is a lot of parity. These games are close. And I wouldn't be shocked. Again, I wouldn't be shocked if Miami even won the game.
Yeah, I can totally see it. Creighton and Princeton. You know, it's funny because, you know, this is going to be a fun game. And, you know, Princeton is actually very close to us, right? I mean, you were talking about exit 9 of the turnpike. So, but we don't ever talk about it because it's more, you know, Central Jersey a little bit. But it's not far from us. This is going to be an interesting game. I like Princeton to keep this game close. Am I nuts?
This is my best game. I like Princeton. Look, this is my favorite
game. Oh, good,
Yeah, this is my favorite game. I took 10. I think it's down to 9. I still like it at 9. I don't know if it's 9, 9.5, whatever it is. I still like Princeton. I think, look, again, this Creighton team, and again, I respect them. Again, they had a tough schedule, and this Creighton team's the kind of team where I would like, kind of I talked about a little bit, Anthony, about playing Tennessee, right? I like playing Tennessee in the role of an underdog. Creighton, if they were playing a better team, taking points, I have no problem with that because I feel like they're the kind of team they are good, they are tough. But to this team to win by double digits in margin, look, against Arizona, it was interesting. You saw Princeton, they didn't make anything, and they still, when they didn't have their A game, they still beat Arizona. To me, that said a lot. Like, again, it wasn't like they shot like 20, 32 from three.
No, they belonged on the floor with them.
They belonged on the floor. And to me, it's like I believe that this game can be very, very close. I would not be adverse at all to taking a pizza bet on Princeton with the money line.
Yeah, I agree.
I think this game will be close. 9, 9.5 points to me. Again, Creighton may win, but God, I'm not anxious to lay close to double digits in a game where I'm not even sure they're going to win the game. I think the game will be close. Again, I would have made this line closer to 5, maybe 5.5. I just 9, 9.5 is too high. Creighton's not that good, okay? And at this point, if games are going to be hard, they're going to be tight. Every possession is going to be close. And again, I just think it's too many points. I think Princeton can play with them. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, they buried Missouri, too. They buried them, you know? Completely buried them. And then the best game of the night is X and Texas. Xavier, Texas. Texas is laying 4 to X. I like Texas. You and I thought that Texas is a pretty legitimate team. And, you know, I got them going far.
Yeah, me too. But this, Anthony, this was my numbers made this literally right where it's at. Again, they were told you there was 2 games. I kind of, UCLA game and the Texas game, I thought was kind of spot on. I made Texas a 4. Texas is a 4. So it's like, you know, I think Texas will win the game. I do. And I try, look, Xavier, they could they held on for dear life against Kennesaw State. They were in big trouble there. And they played a Pitt game, you know, against Pitt. Pitt was playing, I think, the third game in 4-9, whatever it was. And Pitt wasn't that good to begin with. So to me, again, I don't think Xavier's been impressive so far in the tournament. I really don't. I think they've gotten very fortunate who they played. I do expect Texas to win the game. But, again, my numbers made it 4. I'm not, again, it's not a game I think merits a wager. I do think Texas will win. But, again, it's exactly what I put the number at.
Yeah, listen, that makes sense. Listen, I look at it and I go, you know, they're a 3 seed. Are they really a good 3 seed? And I'm with you. I've been underwhelmed by them. But, yeah, you know, I think they could actually match up against Texas a little bit if I'm going to match those two up on the floor. So, yeah, I expect Texas to win. But you know what? It could be one of those nip and tuck and, you know.
Yeah, and you're laying, again, for everyone listening, if you're going to, yeah, people, again, the comfort food is taking the favorite. That's just right. The comfort food. But you're laying points in these NCAA tournament games. And that, I mean, it's not easy to win a game by 5 points. It may seem like it is, but it's not easy. Because, again, like and Xavier, they have some chops, too. They can't. Again, I thought the line should be 4. I've had an opinion in most all these games, Anthony, but the 6 of the 8, the 2 that I just thought were exactly what my number was at were these two games.
Yeah, and the other problem with X is, like, when you think about Xavier, is, you know, I mean, the 3 is everything, right? And all of a sudden, you know, Kunkel gets hot and starts banging threes like he did the other day, right? And they didn't even shoot all that well from 3. The other kid, boom, was 1 for 7, right? Like, they could easily, you know, you get hot,
a
couple threes.
Like
yeah, he is a good player.
Yeah.
And, you know, next thing you know, it's a sweat. And I agree with you.
Exactly.
I think it's too tight.
Exactly. So, like, I think Texas is the most likely winner. But, again, it's exactly what I keep saying to everyone, Parks lets you live bet this stuff.
Yeah.
So, you watching that game, you trust your eyes. You matchup-wise, one of the matchups, you may be favoring a team's athleticism is a lot more athletic. Again, I remember watching that Baylor-Gonzaga championship game just a few years ago. Right away, I knew Baylor was going to win. Like two minutes in, literally 2 minutes in, and you know, trust your eyes. And Parks does a great job of letting you do that. And to me, I would watch these games and make some bets during the game, and it's a lot more fun. And you can do stuff, and in my opinion, again, have a bigger edge and better chance of winning.
Yeah, I agree. I think the edge is there instead of going pregame. I'm with you. All right, buddy. Listen, get back to the cruise. Are you going to go have dinner with the captain?
I'm gonna have dinner with my beautiful girlfriend and her beautiful daughter. I can't wait. We're excited. We're gonna see all the princesses and Mickey and Minnie and all the great Disney characters. But I can't wait. But I appreciate you, Anthony, so much. And good luck to everyone out there. Again, I appreciate you having me on as always, buddy. I appreciate it.
It's awesome, brother. Great stuff. The Big Brain on Brad live, middle of the Caribbean on a Disney cruise. Gotta love it. He's a true sportsman. Gotta love that at all. Great job, Ray, producing. Is my main man, Devon, back there?
Hey.
There he is.
How's it going, man?
So, I did get good news on my Achilles.
I was about to ask you, how's the Achilles?
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah,
I'm in a good mood now because I think I escaped surgery. So, he said, this doctor's the best, Dr. Pedowitz. He's my man.
Okay, well, that's the good news then. That's the great news with the Achilles.
Yeah, he said, go boot. Like next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, continue to boot, and they're going to this nitroglycerin treatment.
Okay.
Where it brings blood flow to the Achilles.
Okay.
And he thinks it can actually help regenerate piece of it, and that in rehab, and I'll escape the surgery. So
that's great, great news.
Yeah, because I thought I was on the DL for like, you know, 6 months, to be honest with you.
Well, listen, that's how I was. And I mean, mine was ACL, but the Achilles ACL, they're right there. You know,
I know. I did my left one. So I was like,
yeah, I remember.
I felt it. I'm like, man. Now it didn't curl up to my calf like the other one did. So, you know, whatever. I don't care. I just was happy. The guy was, he's a great doctor. I was just pumped up. Rothman was great.
It's one less thing you have to really worry about.
Yeah, you know, who cares? You know what I mean? I just want to. I got to ask you this, though, because I was so upset the other night. You know, we leapfrog Boston. We're in the two seed, Devon.
Yes, yes, yes.
We let one slip away. That was a tough game.
It was. And how I looked at it, too, knowing that they were basically on an 8-game road trip with a pit stop at home.
Yeah.
That I just felt like one of these two against Chicago, they're going to drop. And
While
I wanted it to be this one, I also then looked at it and said, you know what? I'm glad it was the one at home. Because going on the road, I want them to keep that road momentum going where they have won 6 games in a row. And you do have not only Chicago, but the 3 tough teams out west. So I wanted them to keep that going. So hopefully that they got that one out of the way. So many days on the road. Coming home, as Doc Rivers called it, a laundry visit to Philadelphia to wash their clothes and get back on the road. And then the other part, too, Ant, was in a game like that in the past, they would have been blown out.
Right.
Instead, their defense was good enough to keep them in the game.
I mean, Joe was fantastic.
Right, and Melton with 3 more steals.
And
the way that they played, I took positives out of that because of what we would have seen before. Even though they lost in double overtime, it would have never gone to an overtime to begin with in the past. So I took those positives out of it, and that's what I'm going to decide to go with. Now, the tough part, of course, is the Doc Rivers saying afterwards he thought Harden's foot was bothering him in the game. He shot poorly.
And then
he's out tonight now. I don't know if you saw it. He's out tonight with the rest for the Achilles. And you having to deal with the Achilles, you might want to have your doctor and Sixers doctor talk to James and make sure he's, you know, just resting so he can be right for the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's going to kill the home court against Boston.
So I think, I think they lose the 2 seed. I think they stay in a 3. And but most importantly, just also make sure that you keep Cleveland behind you and not allow them to get past you. So I'm okay with 3 just because of.
Yeah, I was getting greedy. I was greedy Williams.
Yeah, you should have. You should have. Boston helped you out and you did what you were supposed to do to get in that spot. But get greedy Williams. I'm always good with greedy Williams. Get greedy and take what you can take. That's why, like now, on this road trip, I'm looking at, you know, take two of four. But I'll get greedy and take 3.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Split it.
Keep hope alive.
Hey, split it. You get to your 50, and then you have 9. I mean, after these 4, you'll have 7 more games to go. And to give me 4 more. Give me 54 wins on the regular season, and I'll be good to go. Stay in that 3 seed, though. If you can't get 2, stay 3. Don't drop down to 4.
No, I'm with you all the way, brother, all the way. But I'm a little worried about Harden and that, because that thing is just, it just nags you. And the pain is legit. Like, it's legit pain, man. And it's scary because you never know when, you know, you always feel like you just feel vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's got to be right for the playoffs, brother. Has to be. Or else it's another, you know.
I know.
I didn't want to think about it.
No, honestly. And look, until we hear anything further right now, getting the rest and seeing what they can do, what he can do to make sure it doesn't get any worse, then I'm just going to assume right now that we're going in ready to go full blaze with the team and just get. I prefer Ant that he rests right now than, of course, obviously the postseason. If he has to. If that's the way they have to go.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm with you all the way, bro.
Still feel good, though, right?
I do.
Yeah.
You know,
now, that's a big question, but with everything else, you still feel good.
I love the way Joe. I mean, Joe's just playing ridiculous, right? So, you know, I'm just enjoying that. But I was the home court against Boston, dude. Oh, I want home court.
I know.
Home court, I feel I can go in with a little bit of swagger. You know what I mean? I can't go in with a swagger against that squad when I don't have home court.
Well, here's the one thing about going in with the swagger. Although you've lost the first 3 games, take this last one on April 4th.
Yes.
Here at home.
Yes.
Take that one. Because even though you lose the season series, and I certainly wanted them to split it going into the postseason so they can know that they can win, at least take this last one to have the swagger while it will be in Boston. You have the swagger going in knowing that, hey, we can beat this team.
Oh, man. I got to tell you.
Yeah, man.
You know.
And this is why we always talked about it. We kept telling people, hey, stop fast forwarding the season. Look how much fun people are having right now watching this basketball team. Getting behind Embiid. with the MVP candidates.
Yeah,
looking at James Harden, giving him props for the job that he has done. And even going as far as, dare I say, people saying that Doc Rivers has done a nice job coaching this team, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why we kept telling people, hey, I know you're focusing on the Phillies. I know you're, you know, excited about this Eagles run. I mean, let me knock on your door real fast and let you know, hey, the Sixers are playing pretty good since December.
That's right.
And here we are, best record in the NBA since December 9th when they were 12-12.
Hey, can I ask real quick?
Please.
Last night.
Yeah. I was watching.
Oh, my God. Was that just thrilling?
Great theater, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. You know, I was talking to somebody, buddy of mine, today. We're talking about baseball. And if baseball makes a return, and I got to tell you, like last night, Smoltz said it, baseball was the winner last night because Ohtani, Trout, full count, 3-2 ball game, two outs. I mean, that's ultimate.
Yeah. Yeah. You get, and look, we all saw the setup that was happening too, right? You got to bring in Ohtani.
Yeah.
Mike Trout's going to get an opportunity to win it. Ohtani's going to get a chance to win it. Somebody's going to win. Someone's going to lose. And even when I see all this stuff, people coming at Trout, I'm like, man, you stand up there and try to face that dude, even as the best guy.
Oh,
as
he's Trout incredible. Is.
I mean, it's incredible to watch what Ohtani does. So, no, it was great theater. And talk, as you said, talking to people about baseball is back. Baseball is back, at least in this city, and where the way we got it back last season with what they did, the underdog, then getting to the World Series, having the 2-1 series lead and unfortunately losing. But still, I mean, I was filling in yesterday on the best show ever, and at one point we were talking about it with me and Tyrone and Jen of people don't even – it's kind of like we had to be reintroduced to Trey Turner that he was a Philly because it's as if people forgot that they signed him this offseason.
Oh, man, it's true. It's true. Yeah. And we got America's shortstop.
Oh, man.
America's shortstop.
Arguably we're America's the best team. In the game.
We're America's team. Schwarbaum. Turner, Harper's coming back.
Yes, sir.
Man, I love it.
I'm
excited.
It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be fun. Well, you heal up, man. I'm glad you got some good news. Glad to hear that no surgery is needed. I'm very happy.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. Love you, buddy.
Love you too, man.
We'll see you soon. Have a great show, man. All right?
Thank you.
And go Sixers.
Yes, indeed.
Here he is, the great Devon Gibbons.
Also, you got to get back so we can do our playoff stuff.
That's it, baby.
You hear me?
We're doing it. No worries.
Okay.
We'll be doing that. Without a doubt. Stay tuned. The great Devon Givens coming up next. We love Devon. And Sixers right here, 97.5 The Fanatic, 8 o'clock. Need the game. Maxi night tonight. Go Maxi over. All right? Take Maxi over. He's going to go off tonight. I can smell it. Ray, great job producing, everybody. We love you guys. Thanks for hanging. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.